Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
He just formed a fucking wall.
O'Neal deep in the post. Lots of contact there. Oh, what a block by Wallace. What a jump ball.
This team's down 4, 12-8, 7-38 to play the first half. Burst from Rodney. Stuck into the rim. Count up, baby, and a foul.
Reggie inside for Andre. Oh. And a dynamite dunk.
Pistons fans, hello and welcome to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast. Brendan Johnson, Aaron Johnson, and Ryan Pate all here with you this week. And, well, it was a pretty good week for your Detroit Pistons as they're able to go 2-1, a blowout win over the Cavs. They got handled by the Bucks, but then a close game resulted in a Pistons victory against the Indiana Pacers to round out the Pistons' week. So, boys, we're here on a positive note today. You know, how are we doing as we sit down to record here? It's a Sunday night, getting ready for the week ahead, talking about the previous week. Aaron, I'll start with you. How are we doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. A little nervous. Got some finals coming up this week at school. Trying to finish out the semester to, you know, maybe pass. That'd be nice. But we'll see.
I know, it's a concern for you.
Oh, yeah, big time concern. So, but I'm doing pretty good. We'll get some late night studying after the podcast, but glad to be here. And I'm kind of excited to, like, get to talk about a team that actually had, like, a above average week for the first time this year.
Yeah, I'm doing great over here on this side. I don't do school anymore, so.
Must be nice.
It's so nice.
It is nice.
Dude.
I don't do that school stuff. So, yeah, hopefully you pass, Aaron.
Hopefully.
We'll see, though.
We'll see.
You remember those days of, like, worried about exams or, like, worried? I don't know if I was ever worried about passing.
No, I never worried about exams, so
no,
I don't know.
No.
Genius. Genius Ryan.
Genius Ryan.
Okay.
Struggling Aaron. And, well, I mean,
middle
I guess
of the road, Brendan.
Mediocre Brendan. Brendan is the Detroit Pistons.
Mediocre is not. No. Okay, then you're the bottom. You're like the. I don't even know who you are. You're like the Cavs right now.
Hey,
no hope.
I'm working on a 4.0 GPA.
No
right
hope.
Now. Let's just relax.
No hope for you. But anyways, let's talk positive, boys. The Pistons went 2-1 this past week, and you know we were talking a little bit before the pod here. It's kind of what you expected. You expected to beat Cleveland handily, and I think we all expected Milwaukee to take care of their business against Detroit, and we knew that the Indiana game could be tight, and the Pistons have had success against the Pacers this year. And, well, they went out, and they got it done, and they picked up a big win. It was a real nice night for Blake Griffin. But, Aaron, you mentioned it's a positive week, one of the first few for the Pistons so far this year, and well, I mean, it's kind of true. They go out, they go 2-1, above 500. They're currently the 9 seed in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, I guess you took a step forward this week.
Yeah, it was an encouraging week. You know, you get the blowout win against Cleveland, which, you know, especially with what's going on in Cleveland right now with the revolution, the revolting from the players, you know, needed to happen. The Milwaukee game, I think the final score, you know, 127-103, doesn't truly indicate how close the game was. I know we're going to talk about that game a little bit. But that was an expected loss, even though Detroit showed some fight. And then the Indiana game, which was kind of the toss-up. You know, can Detroit beat them? Indiana's gotten better since the start of the year. they played a pretty good game. And that was really encouraging to see the Pistons go out and make plays down the stretch in a close game to get the job done and pick up a nice win.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good summary of it all, Aaron. That's basically it. What more is there to add? It was a pretty... what am I looking for? It was a pretty average just week in Pistons basketball. Nothing really noteworthy. So that was a good summary. I mean, we're going to dive into it, but it's not like I can add, like, oh, this was crazy, that was crazy. It was a week.
Besides Giannis.
Giannis calling the Pistons dirty. That was fun.
Bucks Twitter getting in their feels.
Very soft.
Man, that was something. I don't know.
Like, I enjoy Blake Griffin, you know, being tough, being gritty. That's what this Pistons team needed. If we're going to jump into something, let's jump into that, I say.
Let's do it. I mean, I thought it was very interesting how Bucks Twitter was getting all upset, all riled up. Yeah, they were getting worked up over the Pistons showing a little bit of edge against the Bucks. And, I mean, I don't understand why. When you're the inferior team, you have to...
If the Pistons are going to do anything this year, they're going to have to be the team that's more aggressive, a little dirtier, gets in their opponents' minds. I think this Pistons team is wildly skilled, but they're just not athletic enough, if that makes sense, if you understand what I'm saying. And in this day and age, in this league, where athleticism, being 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", on the wing, and acting like you're a 6'3 guard, you know, reigns supreme, you've got to be the one that's just the aggressor and dirtier and just chippy.
And it's not like the Pistons were that like it's not,
I'm not talking like being
bad.
I'm not talking late 1980s NBA clotheslining dudes in midair and then dropping the Hulk Hogan leg drop on them. I'm not talking about that. But being a little dirtier, Blake push, give him a little nudge while he's down, like just getting in their mind. That's what this team
play
has
with an
to
edge.
Do. Play with an edge.
That stuff
that's
happens
what this
all the
team
time.
Has to do.
And it's like that stuff just happens all the time, that kind of stuff, that level of stuff. It wasn't anything malicious. Like, people on Bucks Twitter were crying about. I was just like, just have some fun. Like, you're the better team. You're gonna win. Like, no. Giannis wasn't gonna like get a concussion because Blake touched him with his foot. Like, it wasn't like anything that bad was happening. But I like that the Pistons went out and they showed that kind of edge, and I want them to play with that kind of edge. I mean, they're never gonna be the more athletic team on the court. They can be the most skilled. They won't ever be the most. Well, not ever, but most nights they won't be the most talented, I would say. So for them to go out and play with a little bit of an attitude, that's fine by me. I like to see that kind of stuff.
You have to pick something.
Mm-hmm. They have a team, though, that has a chance to play pretty smart, efficient, and edgy basketball, right?
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Play tough defense, limit turnovers. The Pistons have enough guys that could shoot the ball, and they've got a guy in Dre who could clean up the glass, and they've got a playmaker in Blake Griffin. Right, they're not going to win the NBA Finals, but I mean, damn, they could get themselves back into the playoffs by just doing those simple things. And playing edgy is part of that. You know, you talk about getting in their head. It's like just Dre being in somebody's head, or Blake getting into somebody's head, where all that focus goes on to Blake or goes to Dre, to where now all of a sudden Luke, who did not play in that Milwaukee game, nice to see him come back and drop, I think, 15 in the Indiana game, but. You know, it's like you've got Tony Snell, you've got Luke, you've got Bruce, guys that then maybe can create plays on the wing to where you get into some of those guys' head. You get into Giannis's head, and you find a way to make little runs, maybe draw a cheap foul, and piece it together. That's the way the Pistons are going to win games against inferior teams.
What is, like, one of the major
questions?
You mean
superior teams?
Or superior teams, sorry.
Jesus.
It's okay.
Yeah, we need to clarify Brendan's statements because Brendan sometimes says
statements.
Some interesting
Shut
things.
Your freaking mouth!
This is a tough pod already. This is tough.
Shut
but
your
anyway,
mouth.
But anyway, go on.
What do we talk about at the beginning of every season for every single team? What's their identity going to be? For some teams, like the Clippers, it's going to be, oh, we have two MVP candidates. Or for the Lakers, we have two MVP candidates and perhaps the best player of all time. The Pistons, they're in a different realm. They are on the opposite side of the spectrum. That's why they have to settle for something like being the edgier team, being the more aggressive team, being the, air quotes, dirtier team. Like, that's kind of like what they have to settle for, and that's okay. And it's not like they're going out there and they're injuring other teams' players and they're picking up a bunch of flagrant fouls. They really didn't do anything outside of normalcy. That kind of stuff happens on a regular basis. and I was completely, completely okay with it. And I liked it, and I want to see more of it, even if it pisses off Bucks Twitter.
Who cares if it pisses off a section of Twitter? Who cares, you know? Because I stand by my statement I made earlier. When this team, there's some very skilled players on the team. It's just not high athleticism.
It's crazy how unathletic they are.
It's just, you know, not high athleticism.
Derrick Rose out of his athletic prime. Blake Griffin out of his athletic prime. Luke Kennard's not a, you know, super athletic player in terms of, you know, jumpiness, you know, high vertical,
yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Langston Galloway in the same spectrum. Tony Snell in the same spectrum. I think Bruce is somewhat of an athlete.
He's athletic.
Andre's definitely a crazy athlete. And then of guys that are actually playing on the roster, not really anyone else. Svi's not. I mean, Svi can get up a little bit, but he's not a.
It's not explosive, high end athlete. Right. Markieff Morris, not athletic.
Wood, Christian Wood's athletic.
Christian Wood's got
that. Andre, Christian Wood, and
a little bit of Bruce.
And then hopefully Sekou when Sekou gets an opportunity. So they don't have a lot of athleticism. They don't have a lot of size on the wing, which is.
When you don't have that, you need your skill to show through. And in order for this team's skill to show through, they've got to get in teams' heads. Where I'm going to keep beating this dead horse about getting in a team's head. Being chippy, being physical, it is so important for this team. And I know it resulted still in a 24-point loss to the Bucks, but just seeing how it kind of broke them down in a way, especially in the post-game interviews talking about it got to them. That's what this team needs.
And the thing is, it's like, you know, maybe that night versus the Bucks, the Pistons didn't get a win, but if you build an identity of playing strong defense and being a little edgy, like really bringing it on the defensive end and diving for every loose ball, and even if you pick up a couple fouls here and there, just being a very physical defensive team, Detroit is going to be in the playoffs. They will win games because of that, because you just don't see it. Like, you just don't see it in the NBA.
That's the kind of toughness you need in the playoffs.
Yes.
I'm not saying, like you said, not saying they're going to win anything, but that's the level of toughness that has to be played with in the playoffs. And if you're honing that in the regular season and it can carry over when you make the playoffs, come on now.
I mean, that gives you a chance to fight in a series.
Right.
You know? And I mean, hell, here's the other thing. If you're in Milwaukee, why are you bitching about it? Like, if anything, that's a great test for you. Wow, they went out, they were edgy, they were a little, maybe they were a little dirty, you know? They play a little hard nose on the defensive end, we beat them by 24. We're flexing pretty hard at 20-3 right now. We feel good about that win. Thank you, Detroit, for prepping us to win the finals, and I hope you enjoy watching it in June.
Right.
That's what they should be saying.
The other teams at the top of the Eastern Conference, like Philadelphia, Boston, you think those teams don't play physical?
I know.
Like,
I know. And
you're welcome for prepping you for the Eastern Conference Finals. Honestly. It was really just like, for a team that is so good and so talented and has chippy guys on their roster, like, for them to complain about what happened was just so like, what the hell?
And maybe, honestly, playing Milwaukee at this point, like this past week, was perfect timing for the Pistons. For this team to get their frustration out. Because you can tell some of that chippiness and fire came from they've lost, including the playoffs, what, like 10 straight, 11 straight or whatever against the Bucks. Mm-hmm. So that starts building on you a little bit.
Oh,
you just can't get over this hump. Maybe Detroit needed that to bring this chippiness out. Like, so maybe it's a good thing they played them right now and they still got their asses handed to them, but it brought out a fire and a spark, and this team, by God, they need it.
Desperately.
Desperate. Dude, they were just dead. It was like they were dead fish on the court at some points this year. Like, it was pathetic watching it, if we're going to really dive into it now.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
it was a hard watch. It was like, this is a joke. This team doesn't even look like they care at all. But then this Milwaukee thing clearly brought them back to life.
I got to say, it was a pretty good week for Blake, though, too. Blake drops 24 versus Cleveland. I think he was at 16 versus Milwaukee, but obviously did some other things in that game that will maybe help reshape this Pistons team. Then dropped 25, including a couple huge plays in that Indiana game to steal the deal, on an above 500 a week for the Pistons.
Blake Griffin is not a great defender by any stretch of the imagination, but what he does for that defense has shown since he's returned. The Pistons were an abysmal defensive team with Blake Griffin out. And since he has come back, they have had so many more better, above-average performances. And it's because of Blake Griffin's, and I know this is coach talk, this is something you'd expect Brendan to say, but it's because of his leadership on the floor.
Locker room guy
that communicates.
He talks like that isn't a thing.
He tells guys where they
need
to
rotate. You sound like
the
people that didn't understand, Christian Wood needed to play his way in and Thon would play his way. Oh, wait, you were that guy.
It's just facts. Blake Griffin has come back, and even though he's probably a below-average defender at this point, at least when he's outside of the paint, the way he communicates, the way he hustles, like, that has really helped the defense.
The communication is everything. Everything. Talking. Blake is constantly talking, and in that aspect, it brings the whole team together defensively.
And what's funny is that's more coach talk than anything, because as a coach, all I have to say 1,000 times a flipping day is communication is everything, and that we have to talk on both offense and on defense. But anyways, just wanted to throw that out there for, you know, some guys that would understand real coach talk here on the podcast.
I mean, I'm just...
Did Brendan throw out, like...
Is he throwing jabs?
Was that a flex? A jab?
Yeah.
Was that supposed to be?
It was like a jab. It was a jab.
Whatever, bro.
It was a jab.
Whatever. It's okay.
Aaron started this with the shots today, so...
I was just talking about how Blake Griffin has really helped the Pistons' defense, which is kind of funny because when you think of Blake Griffin, it is certainly not for his contribution on the defensive end of the floor. But that has been oh so apparent since his return. Even on the nights when he's not scoring, he's having a huge impact. Well, still on the offensive side because of what he can do playmaking the ball, but defensively, he has consistently had a huge impact. And that's something nice that, you know, I think has gone under the radar, and it went under the radar last year a bit.
Veteran leadership's a real thing.
I never said it wasn't. God, don't give me your, like, 10 coaching principles, okay?
I haven't given any coaching principles. I just said, yeah, veteran leadership's a real thing, and you're seeing it. Because we talk about Blake being past his athletic prime, yet he's still able to go out just because he's in the right spots and because he can orchestrate his four other guys around him being in the right spots, able to make a serious contribution. And now, if you mix in just some edge, and you mix in some physicality, and you mix in some, you know what, you're going to get a couple hard fouls here and there, because we're going to set the tone and send a message. Gosh, that's actually going to be exciting to watch.
It's that cliche that Detroit is a gritty, tough city.
Yeah.
But this city does need something to get behind right now. Because we have the two of the worst franchises in sports right now, in the Tigers and Red Wings. One of the worst in football in the Lions. And then one of the very subpar franchises in the Pistons. So the city has nothing.
Nothing.
And one thing the city has always respected is just a tough, physical, hard-nosed team. That's why the city liked guys like Darren McCarty and Martin LaPointe. Back in the 90s and 2000s with the Wings, because those guys, Joe Koser, Probert, all those guys. That's why they like the Bad Boys. That's why they like the 04 Pistons. Toughness, toughness, toughness. If this team, this city needs something that can get behind. If this team can just have that level of chippiness and almost pettiness in a way. But
if it gets the national headline and the people to rally around,
it will get the city interested in something. This city needs it. And the Pistons can do that. They can.
In the last 10 games, the Detroit Pistons ranked 9th in defensive rating. On the season, they ranked 20th. So you can tell just how much Blake Griffin's return.
And this fan base will eat it up.
Man, they went from one of the worst in the league to now with Blake Griffin back, ranking 9th with a 106.6 defensive rating. The teams above them, they're all playoff teams. They're all teams with really good records. The Bucks, the Celtics, the Sixers, the Nuggets, the Clippers, the Dallas Mavericks, the Toronto Raptors, and the team they just beat, the Indiana Pacers.
Well, I mean, yeah, but what else do you add to that? Like, the Pistons...
They've been rebounding the ball better. You know, top half of the league, 11th in the league in defensive rebounding, which was somewhat of a concern for the Pistons, I at least thought at the beginning of the year.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they did not protect the glass well at all for a team that has the best rebounder in the game. They did not protect the glass, and that's you know, that's not on Andre Drummond, at least all his fault. Certainly other guys have to make sure that they're rebounding and boxing out and doing their job. But the Pistons have just been better on that side of the floor lately. And they're, you know, right there with the stat of better defensive rebounding is opponents' second chance points. The Pistons are ninth in the league and the fewest allowed. So just some of those stats that show Detroit has made some serious strides defensively. The concern for me, though, still is the points in the paint. They're still, excuse me, in the bottom half of the league in points per game allowed, and I don't know if that's something that's ever going to get better. Outside of Andre Drummond, they don't really have interior defenders. Markieff Morris isn't one. Blake Griffin isn't one. Christian Wood makes some nice plays here and there, but he also has a lot of, you know, defensive lapses. So the paint scoring, you know, they allow that penetration. They don't have guys because they're not athletic, they're not quick enough to stay in front of those dribble and drive guys, and then their interior defense isn't good enough to help pick that up when guys get past a Bruce Brown, a Luke Kennard, a Tony Snell, Langston Galloway. So the Pistons have certainly been better defensively. They still got a long ways to go.
Not even going to mention Thon.
He's gone. He's gone. We're not doing this. We're not doing this.
How about this? Pistons go zone? Like we saw some of last year, do the Pistons resort to zone defense with their lack of athleticism?
Not for significant stretches, because I think to run a zone, like, I don't know. The Pistons have been better defensively lately. If it gets to a point where they end up blowing up defensively, fine. But right now they've been good defensively. Stick with the game plan.
No, it's been better. Good. Keep, it's been good. Keep lately. It going. It's been better.
Nights that Blake doesn't play, Pistons go zone?
I don't know. I'm not the coach. Go ask Dwayne Casey. Jesus.
Just throwing out ideas. I'm just throwing out different, you know, different thoughts. You know, so the Pistons, they go 2-1. And now it's kind of a matter of where do they go from here? And how do they get better from where they're at? They're 9-14. They're 2.5 games out of the Eastern Conference playoffs currently. Next game, now they hit the road. They're going to New Orleans. And if my phone would load here, I'm pulling up the entire upcoming schedule for Detroit.
Well, I got a question. While you figure out your...
Which I have
ill-prepped stuff that you want to talk about, I wanted to pose a question. At this point in time, if the All-Star selections were here and now, and you had the power to put players on the All-Star team, would Andre Drummond be on your All-Star team?
No.
Ooh.
No.
It's a tough question.
That's tough.
After like 5 or 6 games into the year, 7 games into the year maybe even, I would have said yeah.
I would have said he's a starter.
Yeah.
I said he was playing like a top, what, 5 player in the league at that point.
Yeah.
Because he was, and then I immediately stopped after I said that. I think so. I think he's kind of like the 14th guy who makes it.
I was going to say, if he slides out, he's not one of the last guys.
But he's not he's been much better lately. I don't know where that lull came from, but he went through a lull.
He did.
But he's bounced back his last 3 games, 17-14-4, and that doesn't even get to the defensive stats because he's had some gaudy defensive numbers with blocks and steals lately as well. 23-14-5, 25-22 against Indiana. He's been much better, and I don't know if that just took some time for him and Blake to get back on the court together and build that chemistry, whatever it was, but Drummond's been much better lately. I look at the numbers. I look at the rest of the talent in the Eastern Conference. For a dude that's averaging, you know, 19-17 with, you know, 2 blocks, 2 steals, and 3 assists, I don't know how you leave that talented of a guy off, you know, especially since Blake's probably not on the All-Star team right now.
No, he's not going to be an All-Star. He's not going to be an All-Star.
And, you know, for a team like the Pistons, that probably will be a playoff team by the time All-Star comes around, and they're 9th in the East right now, so they're right there. You usually get an All-Star if you have a talented player. You know, enough of a talented player, I think Drummond fits that category. He would be on my All-Star
team. If they're going to be the one, if anyone's going to make it from the Pistons, it's going to be Drummond, 100%.
Blake would have to go off. Like, Blake would have to have a stretch.
I mean, we're talking where he averages, like, 28-9 and, like, 6. Like, yeah. Just goes ham.
Because he missed those first 12 games, and he wasn't spectacular right when he came back. Seems like he's just now starting to find that form. So he'd have to play, like, some really, really good basketball. And assuming the Pistons get a guy, it would be Drummond. Unless you take Christian Wood, but that's up for debate.
I mean,
that's another debate for another podcast.
That's another time.
Hey. So, you look at Detroit's upcoming schedule. They head to New Orleans. Then they play Dallas in Mexico City. Then they go to Houston. They come home for Washington, Toronto, and then they go on to Boston. But you look at this week specifically, it's at New Orleans, it's Dallas, and then it's in Houston on Saturday. That's a tough week for Detroit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's time that they start playing some real teams again. No more San Antonio. No more, which is crazy to say, no more San Antonio.
That was weird.
But
I didn't like that.
No more Cleveland. Like, you got to play some real ball clubs now. And it did start, you know, with Milwaukee and Indiana, sure. But, like, they had that 5-6 game stretch where they played some pretty favorable matchups. So they're starting to get into that thick of the schedule.
Still couldn't get through it.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Because you said they're going to be a playoff team by All-Star break. And I don't know if I can buy into that, dude. I just don't know.
Which is scary because we kind of talked about, do the Pistons blow it up if they're not a playoff team by the All-Star break? If they're sitting outside. We talked about it.
Like, I know things seem to be trending in the right way right now, which they absolutely are.
They are, but you're getting to that point in the schedule.
But you're playing you're playing the real teams now.
Yeah.
Not that any other team in the NBA is not real, but
it's phenomenal.
Like, you can't get through Charlotte. How are you getting through Dallas and the Lakers and the Rockets and all these? Like, how are you doing that?
Right. Yeah, it's a real concern.
I'm sorry. Like, I know we've been a little positive today, but I'm still, like, just thinking about hearing that upcoming schedule and just thinking about, I know the defensive ratings have been up. They've been playing better, more in sync, but it still gets me, man.
It's like you have to go to New Orleans, who's 6-17, by the way. You have to go there and win.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
You have to go there and win. You cannot go there and take a loss because you're going to play Dallas and Houston. Dallas 16-6, Houston 15-7, and that's going to be tough. And you can't expect. And again, this is why the Pistons are an average at best team. You can't expect them to go and win versus Dallas or versus Houston. If they go do it, that'd be sweet. That'd be great. But you're not expecting it.
Absolutely
you
not.
Have to win that New Orleans game, though.
Yeah.
Come out of this week 10-16. Not great. Could be worse. You see where you go from there?
Yeah.
But
I mean,
you have to win that New Orleans game minimum.
We've already talked about have to win games and they haven't won, but it's always, but at the end of the day, it's always been like, well, they can live, they can survive. I feel like this one's non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Like this, you have to win that game. Because that leaves such a bad taste in your mouth going into those next two that you're not going to win, which just leaves you feeling terrible. That 10-16 versus 9-17 is such a wild difference in how you feel about the team. Well, and how they will probably feel about themselves.
And the thing is, it's like then you come home, you get to play Washington next
Monday.
Who
they lost to earlier in the season.
And you have a chance to go back and get some, I guess, some vengeance. That's crazy.
The beginning of the season is really going to come back and bite Detroit in the ass. Because they've lost to Washington, Chicago twice, Atlanta once, Charlotte 3 times. I mean, that's 7 losses right there.
That's the difference between average and above average.
That's
right?
The difference between the like 8th or 9th seed and like the 6th seed.
Yeah,
like 7 losses to teams that you clear cut should have beat. No excuses.
That will probably not be in the playoffs.
Absolutely not.
The only one, Charlotte, that could sneak in.
No.
They're right in the mix. They could sneak in.
No,
they
could. Not happening. So
well, they could though. But yeah, it's just
you could also date a supermodel. Is it gonna happen? No,
could. Don't count it
all
out.
All right, coach.
Don't count it out.
Okay,
that's coach.
That coach
talk. It
okay,
could happen.
Coach.
Don't count it out. She sees me drawing on that whiteboard. She might, you know, she might like it.
It's a really good play you drew up. You want to like go out for a coffee sometime?
I don't know if it would be a coffee. It might be something a little stronger than a coffee, but we'll make something happen.
All right, coach.
Don't worry about it. But anyways, with Detroit, I mean, what else are we looking for? What are we looking for in that Dallas and that Houston game? Because you can't expect to win either of them. Like, I don't expect them to win either of them. I guess the hope is that they just can compete in at least one, if not both of them.
I mean, you got to try to win one, but I mean, you know, you're looking at continuing to build a rhythm, which is going to, it's admittedly super hard to do when you're losing games, but if they can start to I don't know, because it's like they're getting healthy. But then you have Luke missing against Milwaukee. You still don't have Reggie Jackson. You know, Markieff Morris misses a game. It's like they can never, like, just get to strength.
But you know what's nice, at least, is that they play Monday, and then they get a few days off. They play Thursday and Saturday, to where the Dallas game is the one you really have to strike.
I almost feel like, well, see, actually, I feel the exact opposite way, which is unfortunate, because I would, Detroit should much rather play Houston on the front end, because I think, I'm not saying Bruce Brown can lock up James Harden, but Bruce Brown has had some success against James Harden before. Russell Westbrook is having a not very good year. And the Pistons beat the Rockets last year. It's going to be much harder to beat Dallas this year. Like, Dallas, like, Luka is Luka. Luka has them at 16-6. And it's Luka, Kristaps, who's not having, like, a stellar year. I mean, he's playing good, but not having some monster year.
Still finding himself a little
and
bit.
And a bunch of role players. Like Tim Hardaway Jr., Seth Curry, Jalen Brunson. Those are all role players. All
right, you know
and
what?
And they're 16-6.
I've got to say this, because I've been kind of sitting on this for a second here. If the Pistons want to be a playoff team, then they got to beat some good teams.
I agree.
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at their schedule.
So let's beat the Rockets or let's beat the Mavs.
Hey. And that's why I think the Rockets are the more favorable matchup for Detroit.
Win one of those games. If you're a playoff team, win one of those games.
You have to, like, you can't.
I know it's an obvious statement to make, but we're sitting here talking about, hey, just keep it close and beat the Pelicans and or whatever, and you're fine. No, if you're a playoff team, which this team thinks they are, and the front office thinks they are, go win one of these games. Like, I don't know.
We're live on the pod right now, and Dallas is losing to an 8-13 Sacramento team late in the first quarter. Let me just let you boys know. So anything is possible. I think Kevin Garnett said that once.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, you're
just
right.
Just go win.
You're right about
Luka. You got to find a way to win.
Go win. If you're a playoff team, you got to beat good teams at some point. If you can't beat the crappy teams, you got to beat the good teams. Do something.
I don't know
why. It just came up in me like
well,
this.
That's something. It's like we talked about a lot even last year, too. Like, everybody's like, dude, come on. Detroit could be a playoff team. Yet they kept losing to good team after good team after good team. Like, why are you so excited? Like, if you don't beat any good teams and you make it to the last spot in the playoffs, of the 16 teams in the playoffs, you are the 16th ranked team. You know? Like, congratulations. Like, you're the worst team in the playoffs, and you're going to get railroaded out, and you haven't beat any good teams throughout the year. You are at the best, middle-of-the-road team. You are the middle-of-the-road.
Literally, you are the middle-of-the-road.
And you're not trending up. This team is not trending up. They are just in the middle of the road. So, you know, yeah, we've been positive early on, but I mean,
more I sit on it and start thinking about it, it's just do something.
Detroit goes out and goes 3-0 this week? Okay, well, all of a sudden now maybe we're talking a little different game.
Yes.
Blake and Dre look really good together. Luke goes off one night. Hey, all right, cool. Now we're having a totally different conversation. Detroit comes out of this week 12-14. We are having a totally different conversation next week.
But they haven't proven they can do that.
Right.
Right, which is why there's no expectation, which is why it's like, I gotta find a way to survive.
If there's no expectation, if there,
that's the time to strike.
If there's no expectation, not only is it their time to strike, and they don't do anything though, that's the time when you gotta consider changes being made. I get there's no expectation, but we every year we keep going. Well, there's no expectation. There's no expectation for the last 12 years. At what point is that not good enough anymore? We had this conversation last year, Brendan, yep, and we got roasted by people.
I know.
Which, they were wrong, and we were right, of course.
100%.
But it's like, why are you saying that? Why are you saying, come on, man, of course there's no expectation.
Have some faith. Come on.
Have some faith, but of course there's no expectation. It's just not that good of a team. Okay, if it's not that good of a team, changes need to be made. I'm sorry, boys. I don't know where this,
like, no, just, you're right.
But we're sitting here talking about, but I'm thinking about, like, oh, let's just hope to survive. What is that? What is that?
Because this is a real view of how mediocrity is just not okay. It's just not okay.
Hey, Sekou and Jordan are looking really good down in Grand Rapids.
Feed me Sekou.
They're looking really good down in Grand Rapids.
Sacred.
I really like that Detroit's got some young talent. They got some young prospects.
It seems like they're finally using the G League to try to develop guys. You know what I mean?
Take a few shots. I mean, Sekou's obviously a little bit of a... He's not a shot.
It's more of like time to developing. Yeah, get to know
but they're
America.
Taking some shots with, you know, Jordan Bone and Lewis King, Dante Hall. They got DeVitas overseas. And then on the roster, you know, you got Luke. You have Bruce, who they're developing right, and they're making him a point guard, which makes me so happy because I've been saying Bruce Brown is a point guard, and he looks like a point guard, which is really good because now they have a 1, a 2, and a 3 to move forward with down the line in Bruce, Luke, and Sekou.
Unless if Sekou's a 4.
Unless if Sekou's a 4.
I'm sorry, the 3 and the 4, it's all the same to me at this point. In today's game, it's the wing. It's the win.
You got Christian Wood, who's showing something nice. Looks like they found a diamond in the rough there. They just got some young talent, which is kind of like why I've kind of changed my tune on the whole rebuild thing. It's this horrible start to the season, and the fact that they actually have some young talent that has shown some promise.
It's one of those, like, you want something to look forward to. And right now, you know there's no expectation, and you know what you're going to get. It's very bland. It's very bland. So, I don't know. Is there any chance Detroit could even take 2 out of 3 this week? Do we even feel that that's a realistic chance?
Book it.
2 out of 3?
They're going to do it. They pull this kind of bullshit.
I could see a little early season mental, like, mess with you a little bit. Go to Houston or Dallas. I don't know which one. But go to one of those games.
Houston or Mexico City.
Well, my point is go in to play Houston or Dallas, and like in one of them, just like play phenomenal. Blake goes off. I'll put it this way. In one of the 3 games this week, give me a Blake at least 40 burger.
Okay. All right. Well,
give me 40 for Blake one night this week. Give me 40 for Blake one night this week.
I just need a win. I just need a win more than the Pelicans.
You need 2 in 1 week.
Yes.
You need 2 in 1 week.
Beat the Mavs. Something. We've played a bunch of subpar teams and have lost already.
Detroit pulls this bullshit all the time. They lose to the teams that they should lose to, and they end up beating teams. Or they lose to teams that they should beat, and then they lose. Or they... Holy shit, Aaron.
My God, he was talking mad to me earlier.
Wow, this is...
I'm not going to comment. I'll let him recover.
They lose to the teams they should beat and beat the teams they should lose to.
There it is.
I'm really focused on my finals. Maybe it's... Like, these next 3 days are
weighing on me. Beat the teams they're expected to lose to. You should never lose to anybody. Your goal should be 82-0.
If I was one of your players, and this is how I got talked to for like 2-3 hours a day... I'd literally just pack my bags and forget that I ever wanted to play basketball again.
Wow. Oh, my. Hey,
this coach talk is unreal.
Unreal. Well,
just
I don't know.
Win. Just do something.
Just win.
I'm tired of just cruise control in the middle. Do something.
Watch them lose to the Pelicans and then beat both Dallas and Houston.
I'll take it. I wouldn't even be mad. I wouldn't be mad. Take it.
There's your 2 out of 3. Fine.
If they go 2-1, then I don't care who they beat and who they lose to. Because that means they beat one of Dallas or Houston, maybe both. Fine. That'd be the stupidest thing ever, but fine.
They've got to find a way to start playing consistent winning basketball. They do. They had their chance to figure it out early in the season. Washington, Charlotte 3 times or whatever. The Hawks twice, the Bulls twice. They had their chance to figure it out, and they have not. Now you've got to do it against the likes of the better teams in the NBA.
Prove something.
Sink or swim.
It's where it is. Will Blake be on this team by the trade deadline? Will Dre be here by the trade deadline?
Well, maybe.
We'll find out here soon.
Yeah. We'll have a better idea this week.
We will definitely find out soon. Is Langston still a Piston by the deadline? We will find out.
So the Pistons, 3 games this week, 2 of them against current playoff teams, the other one against the New Orleans team that they should beat. We'll see how they do in those matchups as they currently sit at 9-14 in 9th place in the Eastern Conference. Well, before you go, make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Palace of Pistons. It's at Palace of Pistons. We're on Instagram, at Palace Pistons. We're on YouTube, Facebook. You can check out all the different sites that we're streaming: Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. You know, if you want to go back to Twitter, you can follow our personal pages as well, at AJohnsonNBA, at Ryan Pay, or at Media Brendan. And again, let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know where you stand on this team. Do you support the rebuild? Do you support giving this team a little bit more time? You know, are they a trade away? Maybe they're just one more piece away from really turning it around. Let us know your thoughts. But until next time, we'll see you. Hopefully the Pistons can win a few games when we're chatting next here on the Palace of Pistons podcast.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.